Show of hands.
Today?
Today? Oh, really? Where was I? How do you handle them? Are you comfortable in how you handle them? I mean, to be rude and slam the door in their face, is that Christian? To stand on your doorstep and argue with them till the veins are popping in your neck, is that Christian? I don't. It makes me feel uncomfortable. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
Don't answer the door.
Right? Yeah, you don't answer the door, John. You don't answer the door. Just kind of cower in the corner. Maybe they'll go away. How about this? Because I've engaged them in conversations. I've tried all different things, y'all. I really have. I've done it all, and I still haven't figured out which is the best one. But I'm waiting because they make this statement. Because you say, well, I am already a born-again Christian. I do make sure I say that. I am a born-again Christian. Oh, we are too. Would you please take our... I don't even want to take their tract. I don't. I don't want to take their tract for two reasons. Number one, there was a time... God, I'm going to tell on myself tonight. There was a time I didn't want to take it because I didn't want it in my house. I didn't know what kind of spirits was on that. Come on. Okay, it must be just me. And then there's another part of me saying, you know, that's probably 52 cents, and they're just going to give it to me. I'm just going to put it in a trash can. It ain't going to do nobody any good in the trash can. Maybe just save it for the next one. There's that compassionate side of me, too. But whichever one it is, I'm never comfortable with it, okay? But what if I said, oh, you are? So then that means you believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, maker of all things, both visible and invisible. And in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. What would they do? Don't you think we will find something in that creed that they're not going to be able to say we agree with? Or how about this? And I tried this today because I really wanted to try it before I started tonight. How about standing in the midst of three Pentecostals? And I started talking about the Nicene Creed. I started talking about the Nicene Creed. And I promise you, I'm not telling you a story. What's that?
Really?
What's what? What's the Nicene Creed? You see, we forget. We have it every Sunday. They don't. These were two young guys. One's 32, one's 24. But they love the Lord. They're born-again believers. I have great fellowship with them. They're great kids. I call them kids because, hey, I'm old. Because they're kids. They're great kids. And so I said, well, before I tell you about the Nicene Creed, how about the Apostles' Creed? And the older one said, say a few of the lines. And so I repeated a few, and he goes, oh, that's a Chris Mullen song. He recognized it as a song, but not as the creed. And I gave them just a little history. I gave them just a little history, and then I recited the Apostles' Creed. I said, and I looked at him when I got done. I said, now, did I just say anything that you didn't agree with? And he said, no. I said, okay. And I said, in the Nicene Creed, even expands it more, but there's not a thing. There is not a thing in either creed, the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, that any born-again Christian believer should find offensive. Even the philoquy, when you think about it, and we're going to talk about that later in the study and in another day, but that is where... That is what split the Western and Eastern church, unfortunately. in a little 1065-ish, something like that. But the Nicene Creed stood as the standard from 325 to over 700 before it got tampered with. Then it got tampered with. Then they had a large council of all the churches coming together, and the East got mad with the West for changing it, even though it was two words. They got mad with them, and that's where the Great Schism came from. It's shame. Two words. And you can argue both sides of the equation. You can make a case for both sides of the case. Looking back historically, looking back, it was the stupidest thing in the world. That's just one man's opinion, okay? But yet it ripped Christianity in half. And then you have Western Catholicism, Roman Catholic Church, and Orthodoxy. And then everything came out. When the Protestants removed themselves, when the Reformation came, they took with them the Western Creed. So that's what's kind of ingrained in them, okay? Whew, I need to take a breath. Okay. So far, so good? All right, one more story I want to tell you. I got to find it. Okay. If all of Christianity... Well, I'm not going to be able to find it. I should have marked it better. I apologize. If all of Christianity would read the creed, even just the Apostles' Creed, but the Nicene Creed, as we're going to see in this study, is really rich and full of our faith and our doctrine. If Christianity would embrace a creed, a common creed, like they said in 325, there would be no room for the Jim Joneses of the world, the David Koreshes of the world. You name a cult leader that fooled people under the guise of God. If a standard of the creed was raised, they would have never been able to exist. Because they could not have stood that test, okay? One other thing, and I asked my young friends this today, because one of them looked a little puzzled when I started talking about creeds and stuff like that. I go, I see James. I go, you have a problem with the word creed. And he goes, well, no, not really. I said, have you heard it said from a pulpit, no creed but the Bible? Because independent, charismatic, and even Protestant churches, Baptist churches, love to use that term. No creed but the Bible. Have any of y'all ever heard that terminology? But no book but the Bible, no creed but Christ. They don't need a man-made doctrine, a man-written doctrine, okay, telling them what they believe. If it's not in the Bible, I don't believe it. And if it's in the Bible, why do I need a creed? Yes, but I believe Jesus Christ is my... I have asked Jesus Christ to be my personal Lord and Savior. That's their profession of faith. And I was one. I is one. I have been one. You know, there's no statement of faith other than, yes, I believe Jesus was the Son of God, that he died on the cross. So it's loose. It's real loose, but there's no structure to it. And what they say is they don't want a man-written creed dictating their faith. They want the Bible, Scripture alone. What's the terminology? Sola Scriptura. Yeah, see? Man, I'm so glad he's here. He can help me with those things. Scripture only. Okay? But here's the problem. If you ever get in a discussion with someone about the Nicene Creed, and you hear that independent mindset, just ask them, where did their Bible come from? Well, it was written by God. Okay, yes. But how did those books end up in that Bible? The first one, are you ready? Ooh, I'm going to like this. The first one to ever give us the books of the New Testament was a bishop by the name of Athanasius, who was the same deacon who penned the Nicene Creed. 15 years later, he's a bishop. And for the first time written were the books of the New Testament. 65 years later, at a council, guess where it was held? Nicaea. They canonized the New Testament as we know it today. So, follow this thread. The Nicene Creed stands longer than the canon of our New Testament scriptures, penned by the same person. Not, he didn't write the New Testament, but he was the first one to actually call out, and then it went through the process. And got, you think we take a long time to make a decision? Oh my God. Think about it. 65 years. And now, so now I'm going to hold up a Bible and say, no creed but the Bible? Can you see there's a conflict here? When you take that mindset, so you're going to discount one thing they did and embrace the other that they did? I don't think so. I think it all comes together with the package. All right. Real quick, we're going to take a side-by-side look at the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. And I'm not going to, for future studies, what we're going to do is each section we're just going to dive into and get scriptural reference and understand exactly what we're saying. But for tonight's purposes, I just want to introduce us to it, okay? So, in the Apostles' Creed is to your left, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And the Nicene Creed takes that and says, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. Two things I want to just make a quick note. Apostle Creed says, I believe. Nicene Creed says, we believe. Okay? The Nicene Creed can say, I believe. Either one is acceptable. The Apostles' Creed always said, I. Because it was a profession of faith before baptism. We in the CEC, we use the we believe because we are stating our faith of commonality in our community and with the Christian church at large, not just an us thing. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible. And again, we're going to tear into that stuff and exactly what all that means. Next. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Now remember I said the divinity of Jesus was the biggest question. So look at this expansion. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Exclamation point. We're not going to leave any room for doubt in there, are we? He is God. Are you with me? I mean, we're breaking it out so it's just right in your face. No question about it. Next. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. This is going to be very interesting when we get to this one, because notice in the Apostles' Creed it says he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. The Nicene Creed says he was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. Just a little side note. The reason why that "and" is there, speaking fully God, fully man. Because the Virgin Mary is how he got his humanity. Okay, next. See, there's going to be more to come. This is going to be good. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. Very, very similar. But there's still some nuances there we're going to look at. Next. On the third day, rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, is the Apostles' Creed. And then the Nicene Creed. And on the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. Again, a much fuller explanation. Okay? And then last. Oh, no, not last. Excuse me. Here's the other place where they really want to make sure we get it. The Apostles' Creed says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Nicene Creed. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe the council wanted to make sure we understood that the Holy Spirit was God too. He has a lot going on for him. It's just not that we believe in him. We believe in him that he's done all this and he proceeds from the Father. Okay, next. The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And we believe in one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Notice the difference. Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So what I propose, what we're going to do, is we're going to take those section by section. We're going to tear them apart. And there's a reason. There's a reason. It's not for your head knowledge. Please. I'm not about head, though I've enjoyed learning all the stuff I've learned. This is not for head knowledge. This is for your very spiritual maturity of who you are in Christ. We need to understand who we are. If we can really grab hold of who we are, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. If we understand the power that resides in us, who breathes in us, who uses us, who lives through us, who gives us our word, who gives us our very breath and being, that when we see these things and how real they are and how true they are, and Jesus says, go ye therefore into all the world, we can go. And when he says, greater things than these you will do, we can do. But we got to understand what foundation we are built on and who we are built on. Last slide. I think it's the last slide. Yeah. Well, the last set. It says either I believe or we believe. I'm going to leave you with this. This is why it's so important. The word believe that was used was a Greek word. It had its root in Greek. And it's, I ain't even going to try. That's it up on the screen. Okay. All right, from the Greek, it's that. It was translated into Latin as pasta or paste. Interesting. And then, when we say, I believe. When they said, we believe. When they wrote it down, when Athanasius penned the words, and those over 300 bishops signed the document, this is what is stuck to us. This is the glue that binds us together. This is my very being. See, you have to understand, because our religion is rooted in Judaism, Jews had a way of looking at belief, what it meant to believe something that's foreign to us. Because we are now products of the Enlightenment. I am, therefore I believe. I believe, therefore I am. If it feels good, do it. You know, well, that's not what I really am. I'm working to a better place of state of being. What? You know, I'm not who you think I am. I'm on a journey and I'm going to be something else. I mean, come on. This is who we are. We're free thinkers. All right? What we like to say is, well, I believe, when we're talking about a scriptural, I believe it means this. You ever said that? You ever heard somebody say that to you? What we really should be saying is, it means this to me. It means this to me. Because when you're saying, I believe this, guess what? I used to say, well, I believe that 10 years ago, and you couldn't catch me with it now today for nothing. It's like, how could I have been so stupid to believe that? I mean, I've confronted some things in my own belief system. I can't depend on what I believe. I need something of substance. The Jews looked at belief as you not only as a state of mind, but as an action. When you said you believe something, you just didn't think that was the way it was. You acted that was the way it was. A lot bigger than what we are today. There was no one without the other. For a Jew to think something, he lived it. He believed it with his very being and his action. We need that in our Christian walk today. We need to live and breathe what we believe. Now, you know, there are so many things that are up for debate in Christianity. But I'm telling you, the things that are set forth in the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, they're not debatable. Not with Christians. They're not, there might be a nuance here or there, but they're not, this is our common ground. How many conversations have you gotten into with someone and one of you, either them or you, said, well, I don't believe that. And we focus on the things that we don't agree on all the time. Denominations are split because they focus on the things they don't agree on. We have more in common with each other than we have a difference. And the world, will know we are Christians by our love. And my love for you, if you believe what I believe, if you believe all of this, then you are my brother or sister in Christ. I love you. And there should be no division. I mean, come on. Siblings have arguments, but you don't hate each other. You can disagree of who ate the last bite of macaroni and cheese. But it doesn't mean that you don't want to talk to each other anymore or pick up all your marbles and go play somewhere else. But that's what we've done. We've got to start coming back to common ground. And the only way we can get people back to common ground, watch me, lift up your feet maybe. We got to know what we believe. We have to have a solid framework of who we are in Christ so we can find that common ground with everybody. But if you don't know what it is, you'll be easily tossed to and fro. Amen. Well, we're going to take a few minutes to pray.